Wisdom, opinions, barbecue sauce. Our guy Lopez has it all and shares it with you.
I used to go into the clubhouse and I just
It's time for the OG's passing thoughts.
Tell me a story, OG.
That's still concerning.
I feel like I should just leave it a mystery.
Oh, I mean,
leave it a mystery.
Tried to make it known that I don't ask questions that I don't want answers to, and so I don't actually want to know what that was.
Yeah,
but it is concerning. All right, OG, what you got for me?
All right, let's go. Let's start with the pregame thoughts. First of all, I'm proud of you.
I do.
Yeah, you embraced the tailgating.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you. What was the total?
All right, I think it was.
I mean, to be sure to have your back. You weren't, like, drunk or anything.
No. In fact, I was more leaning after the first, during the Bears game.
Yeah.
I think I was more leaning that one. But that was because I had three shots in quick succession at the end of the tailgates. And that was not in a good
place.
But
you put up a pretty good tally.
Four shots, three drinks, I believe.
How about that? In about an hour?
Yeah, thereabouts.
That's good. So that's one.
But I washed that down with a whole bunch of great food. So it's
some food, yeah.
It balanced it out.
So pregame passing thoughts, that's one. Tailgating this year, and you can speak to this, because I've been out to tailgate every week except for this past one. Tailgating is next level right now in that Texans
park. Top notch.
I mean, it is really good. Another passing thought pregame. That was an unacceptable number of Bills fans that were in attendance. You know, Friday I said I'm probably going to be 20% of the crowd's going to be Bills fans. Dude, it was 30, 35 at least.
Okay.
At least. That's unacceptable. And you could tell because, as I mentioned earlier, when Stephon was introduced, like, that stadium rattled with boos.
Yeah.
Like, they were, all those Bills fans were booing him. Another quick pregame thought before we get into the other ones. Steven Sims is on notice.
Thanks for stopping by the booth.
Man.
Like, Robert Woods got your job. Now,
healthy and active.
Robert Woods does need to figure out when he can just let the ball go. Like, I think he might need to take stock of where he is on the field. Mm-hmm. You don't need to catch the football inside the five. Let that thing bounce, buddy.
Well, we'll get to that in these passing thoughts. In fact, I'll get to it right now before we get into some better things. Kyahmi Fairbairn notwithstanding, there are a lot of things to address when it comes to special teams. Let's go through a couple.
Okay, all right.
We know the breakdowns they had in previous game. Block kick. I think at least one good return, one called back on a punt, or on a kickoff, excuse me. Tommy Townsend came through at the end with a punt that was down inside the 5-yard line.
But he also had a punt that was a.
He is not worth the money you're paying him right now.
Oh.
He's not. Right now, he ranks 28th in the league in punting average. And he gave you just alluded to it, he gave the Bills a short field twice. They scored on both those drives.
The tough part about punting average is that it's not an exact science because mm-hmm. sometimes you're like corner punting, right, or what have you.
Right.
Right. Sometimes it's not but that doesn't necessarily filter in as much in this situation because you have Kyahmi that kicks from so far. So usually if you're punting, you've got enough room to make it a long one.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying.
And then there's Robert Woods, which you also alluded to. Two catches inside the 5-yard line, one on the 3. They've got to fix some stuff up. I mean, Frank Ross is really, really good. But, boy, they've got some things. Again, good on Tommy Townsend for coming through when they needed it the most. Obviously, Kaimi's just notwithstanding. I mean, he's in another dimension.
But you gotta listen to Kyahmi here in some ways because Kyahmi talks about kind of how and it's kind of wild to say, the championship experience that Tommy Townsend has mm-hmm. has been helpful, right? So how much does that matter when you're considering how much you're paying him? Like, I understand the punting has not been as top-notch as you imagine it should be, but the execution of these field goals, he is the holder in these situations.
Yep.
And for some, like, in some ways, I imagine that that factors in.
Sure.
Just knowing what to do and knowing how to be act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
Some of that comes from the dude.
And he has won a couple of Super Bowl rings, so he's been in those moments. Again, look at what happened in Cincinnati, which we'll get to later. So, Seth Payne, another passing thought. Seth Payne tweeted early on, it seems kind of unfair to face Trevor Lawrence 2 weeks in a row. And I thought to myself, okay, be careful with that. But you kind of face Trevor Lawrence 2 weeks in a row. Josh Allen was not good. He came up with some moments, but he was, what, 9 for 30, 31, something like that?
Yeah, he was not He was not the Josh Allen that we had seen earlier on the season. He was a little bit closer, if not a lot closer, to the YM.
What do you
Josh
call it?
Allen. The bozo gene pops up.
The bozo gene.
He did a little bit of that. He didn't do too much of that, but he did a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I think more than anything, he was just missing.
Yeah.
He was missing in a way that he has not early on in the season, which we appreciate. We really do. But they were also taking a lot of shots.
They were.
Like his
and average, like Trevor Lawrence missed them.
Yeah, his average depth of target was 12.5 yards. Like he was chucking it downfield. Just wasn't connecting.
Who was the one he missed wide open?
Matt Collins. Well, that wasn't the one he missed. Matt Collins just dropped it.
But there was another one he missed that he overthrew.
Yes, he did.
It was very much Trevor Lawrence-like.
Yeah, I can't recall exactly who that was.
Another passing thought here. And this is speaking to Texans fans. Azeez Al-Shaair needs to be a much more popular player than he is.
Yeah, get y'all some zero jerseys.
Get some zero jerseys. Give him the love that he deserves. What he did, if it were a playoff game or it was he was a bigger name, people would be talking about like a Jordan flu game kind of thing. Like, he lost 10 pounds the night before. He was in the hospital the night before. He came out and not only had, I think, two tackles for losses and a sack, but he was always around the ball, making tackles, led the team in tackles, and defended two passes that were crucial. And that is his weak spot. I shouldn't say weak, but that's the one area that he doesn't get a lot of accolades for is pass defense. Azeez Al-Shaair is a dude, man.
Yeah. And it's all of the heady stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He's the soul of this defense.
Yep.
That's something you absolutely have to say. He is what's making this defense great. And I turned to you when it happened in the first half, and I cannot shake this. The play when it's Tampa 2 and he is going from middle linebacker, hoofing it backwards, and able to get up in the air and knock down a pass in the middle was incredible to me. That's outside of understanding that this man was puking up his guts.
Lost 10 pounds in a night.
Right? Like, that is insane to me.
He should be a very popular Texans player.
He's very good.
Another passing thought here. Not that I'm hoping for it, but I honestly don't know why more teams don't just pound the ball against the Texans. Their defensive line, their weak spot is they get moved. They get moved sometimes. And there were moments where I was saying, look at the line of scrimmage. Like, it was moving. They were moving them 1 and 2 yards. So, obviously Cooks had some his moments. But I think if I'm watching film, I think a lot of teams are saying, why don't we just pound the ball on this defense a little more?
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the things that you look for. And, I mean, I thought that the defense, after the first drive or two, they found a little bit there. Mm-hmm. But also, to be fair, the Bills got away from it. And I could tell at the start of the third quarter, I know exactly what Joe Brady was talking about in there. It was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. When we were using that jumbo package, we were working them more.
Yeah.
And it almost became Pavlovian.
Yeah.
My response to hearing number 70 is an eligible receiver. I was like, oh, there's jumbo package.
Oh, boy, here they go. Here they go.
Here we go. And now the team, they did not break. Like, they found the right moments to be able to hold up. But there was that jumbo package came in, and oh, here comes the first down.
Yeah. Another passing thought here, and this is a big one that we're going to revisit today and this week, I'm sure. What does Cam Akers have to do to get more carries? Sorry, Bobby, I don't understand it. He had 9 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown, 15-yard touchdown. Dari had 15 carries for 30 yards. Now, he was valuable in some of those, and he was valuable in the passing game. But what does Cam Akers have to do to get more carries?
Did you feel like this game was more about Cam Akers himself or more about Dari when it comes to like the handoff split? Mm-hmm. Because Dari carried the ball 15 times, Cam carried it 9, and it very much felt like, oh, this is a knee jerk reaction to last week where Dari was very good. And Dari, like, I think some of it was making sure that you're not predictable. You actually run the ball with him, but he had whole drives where he was the guy and they were handing it to him straight up in run looks.
Yeah. He had the first 4 carries of the game. He started and had the first 4 carries of the game. And if you had told me the over-under on most carries that Dari Ogunbowale would have in a game this season was 14.5, I'd have said, pound the under. Pound the under. Well, he had 15 yesterday. It was... We'll revisit that. I blame me.
Oh, excellent.
I blame me.
I also do blame you. What are we blaming you for?
My bad. That's on me. I'll take the brunt of the criticism. The Texans had 0 penalties in the first half, and I said, hey, the Texans have 0. I tweeted, hey, the Texans have 0 penalties in the first half. How'd that third quarter go?
See, I hypothesized with Sean during this game or after the game that they went with the supermarket sweep approach. They were like, look, You get no penalties. But the third quarter, go wild.
We'll right? be like good with you.
There is no cost on penalties. In the third quarter, you go wild. And then after that, we lock it back in.
Yeah.
Of course, I am joking. I highly doubt that that's the way that they handled it. But I almost felt kind of oddly glad that like it was contained in a mm-hmm. way. Still doesn't need to be that. But it was kind of contained in a way. And also, I think there were penalties that came within the run of play. Mm-hmm. And they weren't at some of your nagging spots.
They weren't boneheaded.
They weren't boneheaded, and they weren't at some of your nagging spots. As you already alluded to, Laremy Tunsil did not pick one up.
Yep.
Like, that means something. Mm-hmm. That is something that is valuable, I imagine.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I really wasn't that upset about it other than the number at how those penalties broke down.
Some of them ticky-tacky as well.
Yeah,
as mentioned.
Yeah, a couple of them were questionable for sure. Another passing thought here. Derek Stingley is a blanket. He is an absolute blanket. That guy, outside of Surtain in Denver, I think he's the best cornerback in the league.
Ooh.
I think Surtain's the best. I think Derek Stingley's right behind him.
You know, we're going to have to revisit that because I'm not.
I know Sauce. I know all this stuff. That dude, if you like, I watched a couple of highlights of just everything that he was doing. I'm like, holy smokes, he's something.
Yeah, but I mean, you're comfortable with your outside corners.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to be.
We'll get to the other one when Who Hooped comes around later. Last one here for you. Thank you, Sean McDermott. CJ Stroud, especially, should be thanking Sean McDermott. For the first time ever, like ever, since CJ Stroud has been here, I dropped an expletive when he had the intentional grounding, which, by the way, was a good call. I heard John McClain earlier. I didn't agree with that. No, it was a good call. He had thrown an interception. He fumbled, which wasn't his fault. It got punched out. Or maybe you can say that it was, but I don't. And then he had that intentional grounding. But Sean McDermott was an imbecile in terms of game management at the end of the game. Total imbecilic move.
Yeah, pretty much.
33 seconds.
You could have taken that. I do wonder, though, if they had felt like they, you know, being backed up, if they could get out of the end zone.
33 seconds. Yeah. You get to overtime on the road.
Yeah.
You what's that old axiom? You know, you play for a tie at home and a win on the road. Not with 33 seconds left and you're on your own four.
Yeah, that was. And again, it wasn't even just that they were getting the ball out. They were out there looking to chuck it, right?
And dangerous passes.
Yes, they were.
Like the one down the left sideline, well, left from where I was sitting, that could have easily been picked.
You could tell that they were, like, in their game plan dossier, somewhere it was like, attack the secondary, because that was exactly what they were trying to do all the way to the very end of the game.
Okay.
And thank you for doing that. I mean, that worked out in one situation, I think, with Keon Coleman down mm-hmm. the left side for the 48-yard touchdown, his only catch, by the way.
Yeah.
That may be the one time that it actually worked out for them outside of, you know, some drops.
I bet they're having a field day with him in Buffalo right now.
Good for them. Good for them. But yeah, they can deal with that. Here, we're having a field day because of a victory. 23-20, Texans win. Shout out to Kyemi Fairbairn doing what he does best, nailing long field goal kicks. And shout out to the OG for giving us his pass. I think you got some tucked in the pocket still, right?
I got a few here.
All right, we might need to see if we can.
We might have to revisit.
Circle around at some point. Somebody texted in on the text line, which, by the way, that's always available. I realize I have not said that. 713-572-4610. React as well within this. And then also the YouTube and Twitch are available. But somebody was like, hey, talk about the jerseys.
Oh, I got a confession.
Oh!
I got a confession.
Oh, and I don't like the way he said that because it sounds like it'll be negative. We'll get to that.
It's up to you to decide.
We will get to that over the course of this show. All right, coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. It is Figgy Fig's birthday, so I just wanted to put that out one more time, even though he is not here.
He's but sick.
He is sick.
Sick.
Something that I was sick of was seeing some of the ways that Bobby Slowick used Dare Ogunbowale, right? He mm-hmm. was getting a lot of snaps, and he seemed like he just could not quit Dare. So in that vein, what player in your life could you just not quit? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 610.